Discipleship defined for me is simply being committed to go on a journey, to get on a ship with a new disciple. The root word in the Greek for disciple means to learn, a learner. Those discipling new believers are committed to coming alongside a disciple of Jesus on their journey of faith. I will be the first to admit that I feel like I have often failed in being successful in discipling new followers of Jesus as they grow in faith. But I would like to take the next few minutes to just share a few things I have learned along the way that have encouraged me to stay on the ship with someone and not abandon the journey. There are three principles that help keep me focused when starting a journey with a new believer. These principles also encourage me when I find myself visiting a new disciple who is back in prison again, or struggling with an addiction, or maybe dropping out of college, or struggling in their marriage, or who has lost the joy they experienced when they first believed. Those three principles are: 1, look for the evidence of grace. And secondly, know who I am and who He is. And thirdly, follow the new command. First, look for the evidence of grace. Many of us are results-oriented. We like to be able to measure progress and growth. But what is the goal in discipling a new follower of Jesus? If the goal of the discipler, the teacher, is merely pragmatic, measuring success by behavior changes alone, then we are missing the mark in being an effective discipler. Commitment to being on a journey of faith with a new believer will quickly lose its appeal if the focus is primarily on behavioral change. The new believer's journey of faith can easily become a journey of performance to fit in with all the good church people. I have found the account of the formation and growth of the New Testament church in Antioch to be one of the most insightful and encouraging passages of Scripture in the area of disciple making. Persecution has broken out among the many new followers of Jesus after Stephen is stoned in Jerusalem, and those new believers who are of Jewish heritage are scattered up and down the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. Most of these Jewish believers only tell other Jews about Jesus, but some of them who have scattered to Antioch begin telling the Greeks about the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 11:21 says that the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Well, you know how it is. When God starts moving somewhere, people talk. Some are excited about what God is doing, and some are skeptical. Even in the days before social media, word gets back to the church leaders in Jerusalem that some of those early believers who have scattered north are telling the stories of Jesus' saving grace in their lives. Can you imagine the theological mess in Antioch? There are relatively new believers in Jesus with Jewish training in the law, full of the Holy Spirit, ministering Jesus to Greek heathens who have who knows what kind of bad habits and worldviews. Use your imagination. This group is the foundation of people, disciples, that make up this growing church in Antioch, which becomes the launching pad for the Apostle Paul's 3 mission outreach journeys. So the church leaders in Jerusalem hear about this evangelism explosion and send Barnabas to check it out. So Barnabas goes to Antioch, and when he arrives, what does he see in this new growing church? Chaos? There may have been some. Tension between traditionalists and newcomers? Most likely. Messy theology? Well, there had to be some of that too. And bad habits, bad thinking, and sin that hadn't been completely sanctified yet? There surely had to be some of that as well. But what stands out to Barnabas? What grabs his attention in this motley crew of new Jesus followers in Antioch? He sees the evidence of the grace of God. Acts 11:23 says, "When Barnabas arrived in Antioch and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts." Barnabas didn't find a mature church when he arrives in Antioch. He found babes in Christ, messy babes, but he was glad and encouraged them when he sees evidence of grace. Why would Barnabas look for grace? Grace is the indicator that Jesus is present, that Holy Spirit fruit is beginning to bud. I have one dear friend who, after 40 years of living a life of literal chaos and destruction, for the very first time experienced the love of Jesus and believed. His outward behaviors haven't completely caught up to the love of Jesus. In fact, he's currently incarcerated. Again. But the poetry that he writes from that prison cell reflects that the grace of God is alive and active in his heart. Are we expecting perfection and performance from new believers, or looking for the evidence of grace? The second principle that helps keep me on the journey of faith with a new believer is know who I am and know who he is, who Jesus is. It seems so basic, but I finally began to understand my role in discipling is to be a faithful friend on the journey with a new believer. For me, being a faithful friend means listening, praying, teaching, sending a random text of encouragement, writing letters to prison, stopping by for a visit, enjoying lunch, going hunting together, or having a cup of coffee. I've been learning to trust Jesus with the big stuff. The prophet Ezekiel gives a really cool list of some of the kinds of things God will do for his people. God says, "I will sprinkle clean water on you. I will cleanse you from your impurities. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove your heart of stone. I will put my spirit in you. I will save you. I will bring increase." Discipling a new believer is about much more than outward behavior changes. It's about a transformation of the heart, the inner being, which is not humanly possible. Only Jesus and the power of his spirit can change the heart. I'm beginning to recognize when I try to do more than what is required of me. When a person or situation begins to dominate my thoughts or wake me up at night, it's time to consciously release that person to Jesus, for Jesus to do the changing that only he can do. Discipling a new believer can almost be relaxing when I remember who I am and who Jesus is. And finally, follow the new command. Jesus instructs his disciples in John 13:34, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another." The story is told of a man who was sitting at his desk, and on the windowsill there was a cocoon. Inside the cocoon was a beautiful butterfly trying to emerge. And he looked out the window and he saw other butterflies flying around the garden. They were magnificent. The colors in their wings were brilliant, especially when they were caught in the light of the sun. And he watched this beautiful insect trying to get out of the cocoon, but the opening seemed to be so small. He sat at his desk and he watched for hours as this little insect tried to get through the restricted opening. He thought he would help it a little, and so he took a pair of fine scissors and slit the opening, ever so slightly, so that this beautiful butterfly could come out. Within a few minutes, it emerged and started to crawl on the windowsill. It stopped, lay in the sun for a few seconds, and then tried to fly but couldn't. Eventually, it fell off the windowsill and perished. The man was quite distraught. He didn't know what had happened until he realized that God has created these insects so that they need to struggle and undergo immense pressure as they go through the opening of the cocoon. The blood is then pressed into the wings, and through the pressure that insect experiences while coming out of the cocoon, this is what gives life to the wings, so that it can fly away. This poor man, in his efforts to help the struggling insect, had actually killed it in the process, because the lifeblood couldn't get through the wings. It couldn't fly, and so it died. Remembering the new command of Jesus, "Love as I have loved you," is essential in discipling new believers. The love of Jesus for me over the course of my faith journey with him has been rich in patience and kindness. Jesus allows me to struggle and fail at times. Jesus loved me before I loved him, and Jesus has never removed his love from me when I didn't behave as I should. There are plenty of times on the journey of faith with someone it seems it would be best to try and rescue them from their struggles. And then, on the other hand, at times it seems it would be easier to jump ship, cut ties, write them off as failures. And then I remember how Jesus loved me, and it makes all the difference. I hope that these three principles that have encouraged me when discipling new believers can encourage you to stay on the discipleship journey with people that Jesus loves.